Two buttons, Rishi Huda. Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Gimel. Chaim and I had a private yichidus yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, what can I do?
I'm glad Chaim came, because otherwise I would have had to listen to the rest of Rabbi Cohen's look at the Torah here.
I fell asleep at 10 to 1, and the night was very warm, so I couldn't sleep. I didn't put on the air conditioner because I don't know how to work the clock.
So if
it goes all night, it makes it too cool. My wife knew how to work the clock, and she didn't come and fix it up.
We forgive you. Okay, so you'd give him a Lamed Aleph. We are on the top line of your Gimel. So we've been learning about different things that are kosher for schach. So remember, the general rule is that for something to be kosher for schach, it has to be growing from the ground and not mekabel tumah, right? So it can't be food, because food is mekabel tumah, tumah soichlin. So it has to be something, branches, the psoilus, yeah, the psoilus of the fruit, we said. So it's any sort of foliage that's not edible. Okay, so that's continuing in this concept. Amar of Chanan Barava, Hani Hizmi Vihigi. There are two types of little bush. Rashi says, Mine Sneh. Sneh is the thing, of course, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw burning in the desert. There's two sorts called Hizmi and Higi. Says Rav Chanan, they're not edible, and therefore Mesachim Behem, they are kosher for Sechach. Abaya Omar, Abaya says, no, behizmi misachachin, and I agree with you about hizmi, that sort of bush, the branches can be used for schach, but behigi lo misachachin. I don't agree with higi, and I say higi is not kosher for schach. My timer, what's the reason? Not because it's edible, because you can't eat it anyway, but a different reason. Kaven the notri tarfayu, since the leaves fall off very easily, shavik, what's going to happen is you'll sit in the sukkah, and the leaves will keep falling in your soup. Yeah, so you're going to say, this ain't no good. And therefore, shavik love enough, you're going to leave it and go out and go back into the house. And therefore, you can't use it, even though technically it would have been kosher for the other rules. But this is a practical thing.
It's funny that it comes up with the conclusion, you go back to your house. Maybe you'll just chuck out the soup and eat something else. Or
no, but everything, the leaves keep falling. They're constantly falling. You can't eat anything. Everything, or you're trying to sleep and the leaves keep falling in your face, whatever. Yeah. We had yesterday, when you were here, that we said that there was a thing called shvatzerai that you couldn't use for schach, not because it was technically no good, but because it had a bad smell. So you're sitting in the sukkah, okay, and you smell this thing, and you just go out somewhere. Yeah? So that was a similar thing. So these are practical things. Yeah, that any schach that you're using that's going to make it unpleasant, and it's going to encourage you to leave the sukkah, you're not allowed to use for schach. Very simple. Okay. Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav. Rav Gidl says the name of Rav. Hai afkusa de dikla. So dikla, so we have a dekel tree. A dekel tree is like a palm tree, right? So, and it says that in the bottom part, near the ground, there are spiky things that come out around it. That's how Rashi explains it. There's dukronim. Dukronim is the word, or dekel means to impale. Yeah? Stechen. So stechen, yeah. So there's little spiky things growing on the palm tree that stick out. Yeah? So those things, says Rav Gidl Amar Rav, Mesachin Bahu, you can use it for schach. The afal gav de agidi, even though they are come in bundles. So we learned yesterday that bundles of sticks you're not allowed to use. Yeah, we had two possible reasons. Either because it's a gzeirim shum oitzer, because a person will put it up there for a different purpose, not for schach, and then he'll just leave it there. And that wouldn't be kosher, or because of tasav alaymina osui, we said that it has to be something that you do when you make the schach, and not that happens by itself. So yesterday we were talking about bundles. If you go to the lumber yard and buy a bundle of timber, you can't just put the bundle up there. You have to undo it and put them up one by one, right? So over here he says, even though it's bundled together, these things grow in clusters. So when you cut it off the tree, you're going to have a cluster of these sharp things from the bottom of the dekel tree. In this case, Rav says it's okay. Why? Yeah. When is it a problem? If you went to Ben Haliarek and you had a bundle of lumber that was tied together by Frank himself, yeah? So then that's called a bundle, and that's where we say you're not allowed to use a bundle of wood. But over here, it grows like that on the tree. It's not that someone bundled it up. It's a eged bidei shemayim. God did it. So that's not called a bundle that we would make this whole problem of mishum oitzer that we talked about yesterday. Yeah. I afa gavta hadar ogid lahu. So even though the person, what does the person do? So the Rabbeinu Shalom tied it together because that's the way he made the tree grow. But you will take this thing off the palm tree and you bind it up so it shouldn't separate, you know, because palm branches tend to separate off. So you want to tie it together so it should be nice and straight. So he says, even if you tied it together so it should be nice and straight, that's also okay. Why? Because igud bechad lo shmeyegid. The whole gzeira not to use things that are bound together is only if they're bound together. You have multiple pieces and you tie them together. If you have one piece which has split off branches and you just tie it up to get a nice shape, that's not called bundling, and that doesn't come under the gzeira. Yeah. So he says this one is, so therefore this one's completely mutter. There's no problem with it. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ravina Bar Shila. Rav Chisda, in a similar vein, Rav Chisda says the name of Ravina Bar Shila, Hani Dukri Dekoni. Dukri is the same lashon like Dekronim, like we had, that Rashi brought. That it also means sharp, pointy in Nosh, other Shtechen and Zachen. Dekoni, made out of reeds. So reeds grow sometimes with sharp things sticking out of them. It's also Mesach in Bohu. Same thing, you can use them for Schach. Afal gav di agida, you know, even though they come in bundles, while egiv de shemayim lo shmeyegid, exactly the same thing. That's the way they grow. They grow bundled together, and therefore that's not the problem of bundling because it's natural. And then also afal gav the hadar agid lohu, even if the person then bundles one of them to keep the branches in line, egiv bechad lo shmeyegid, bundling one thing to itself to keep it in line is not called the egid, where we will have this problem that you're not allowed to use bundled stuff because it's generally not for the sake of a sukkah, and therefore we didn't want you to use it. But there's no problem if it's something that you're only bundling one thing to itself. So that's l'chayr exactly the same as the case that Rav Gidl brought. It's just another example. Tanya Nami Harchi, we also have a brisa that backs this up. Konim vidukronim, misachim behem. Sticks of reeds, and also the shtecha things, yeah, the pointy sharp bits, you can use for schach. So the Gemara is asking, what do you mean, konim and dukronim? Konim is pshita. Sticks is for sure can be schach. Why would you think a stick couldn't be schach? That's the normal thing that you use for schach, a stick, a branch, a reed. So he says, Ema, what does it mean? Konim shel dukronim, nisachim behem. That if you have reeds that are sharp and pointy, and they are these pointy things that grow, that with them you can use them. Okay, so far so good. Now that we talk from Chizda, said Ravina Bar Shila about what's kosher for schach, he mentions now here something also that's kosher for morer on Pesach. Hani marirta de agma, which literally would translate as the morer that grows in the swamp. Yeah, Rashi calls it chazeres. Yeah, when we say chazeres, so you know, in the Seder plate we have chazeres is one of the things that we put at the bottom, but really it's the same thing as morer. Chazeres just means we usually use romaine letters. But chazeres is almost a generic term that means all of those kind of leaves that are bitter that you can use for morer. So he says, that Rashi calls the marirta, the agma means chazeres, which grows in a swamp. Yeah? Is Adam Yetzu ben Yidei Chivasa v'Pesach. You can use that for morer on Pesach. Yeah? In other words, even though it's not called morer, it's called morer de agma, swamp morer, so it has like a slightly different name. Nevertheless, it's okay for morer. That's called real morer.
How come that comes into sukkah?
It comes into sukkah because Rav Chisda said in the name of Ravina Bar Shila that you could use the sharp bits that grow on the koni. So it's the same. You don't have very often Rav Chisda the name of Ravina Bar Shila. So often the Gemara, when you brings a quote from somebody, then it gets a few of those, and he's not. And he's not very common, so it brings a few things from him just to get a flavor of what that guy was like. Yeah, but it's also, it is slightly related too, because we're talking about different types of things that are kosher for different mitzvahs. Yeah, so he's talking about what's kosher for Schach, he's talking about what's kosher for Pesach, for things that grow also. So the question he asks, Meisavei, the question is that we learn about Ezoiv. Now Ezoiv means what? Hyssop. Yeah. Rashi says Ezoiv is kol hecha dechsiv Ezoiv davish lehachi. Wherever it says Ezoiv in the Torah, this is what he's referring to. So this Bryce is talking about Ezoiv in general. Yeah. And we're going to talk here about, where does it say Ezov in Torah? So one place, the first place is in Parshas Bo, when it talks about, we mentioned yesterday, I think, when they did the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, so they shechted the Korban Pesach, and then the Torah says, "Lekachtem agudas Ezov," you take a bundle of Ezov, of hyssop, and tzvaltem badom, you dip it into the blood, and you put some of the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. Yeah, so there it says Ezov. That's there. There it actually says a good Ezov, a bundle of hyssop. The other place that we have is by the Poraduma. Yeah, so it says, what do you do? It's actually also with the Metzora, but it's not so relevant because you just throw it in the fire. What do you do with the Ezov by the Poraduma? You dip it into the water and you. Oh, so there's two things. One is you throw it into the burning cow, and you also use it for dipping in the water to sprinkle on someone who needs paraduma because it became tamei meis. So you get the water which has been mixed with the ashes of the paraduma, and you dip in the ezov, and you use that to fling it onto the person who has to become toher. Now there, the Torah doesn't use the word aguda. It doesn't say anything about a bundle. It just says Ezov. Now, what's that got to do with anything? We'll see in a minute. So just hold that in mind. So first of all, the Brisa says as follows. So whenever it says Ezov in the Torah, it means something that's called Ezov. The loy Ezov Yavon, not if it's called Greek Ezov. The loy Ezov Kuchli, not if it's dyed blue Ezov. The loy Ezov Midbari, not the desert Ezov. The loy Ezov Romi, not the Roman Ezov. No Ezov that has another name to go with it that's called something Ezov, that's not what the Torah means. The Torah means only that species which is called Ezov Stam. If it's called something else Ezov, that's not what the Torah means. Yeah, so therefore, what are we seeing from that? It has to be Ezov Stam. The question is, according to Rav Chisda, the name of Ravina Bar Shila, you said Moror da Agam is kosher for Moror. The Torah says Mororim. Yeah, it doesn't say, so therefore it has to be, this will be the same thing. It has to be stam, something, Morastam. This isn't called Morastam, it's called Moradagam. It should be no good. Just like Ezev Greek is no good, is Moradagam should be no good. As Omar Abaya, so Abaya tells you a rule. Kol shenishtana shmoi koda matan Torah. Anything that had that name before matan Torah, like Greek Ezev and all those other Ezevs, yeah, that had the name before matan Torah, Ubasa Torah v'hikpida alav, and the Torah came when it gave you the mitzvah and said Ezov Stam. It said without any of those shame levoys, biyadua sheyesh l'shem levoy. Then you know that it has that. There's other ones. They have the shame levoy. They have a literally it means an accompanying name. Yeah, in addition to the actual main name. Yeah. So Abaya says if they had that name before Matan Torah. And the Torah came and told you that you have to use the Stam one. That means the Torah wants Dafka the Stam one and not the one with all of these spare names. But Ahani, this Mora da Agam, Lenishtana Shmayu Kedem Matan Torah Klal. They didn't have that name before Matan Torah. You can't say when the Torah said Mora Stam, it was excluding the Mora da Agam, because there was no such thing as Mora da Agam before Matan Torah. That name is a recently invented name. Till recently, they always called it just Morer. And therefore, that's included, and therefore, that's why that one's good. And the Ezov isn't. Rava Omar, it's difficult. It's an interesting answer, but it's difficult really to understand that, because things like Ezov Romi, Rome didn't exist for Matan Torah. There's no Rome. So to say that Ezov and Yovan Mustama did exist, maybe not where Greece is, but Yovan was one of the descendants of Yefes, right? So there was a nation called Yavon already. So maybe they had Ezov Yavon Greek, but Rome. Where was Rome
maybe
before Matan Torah?
Romaine letters.
Romaine, oh, very good. But this is Romaine Ezov, not the letters.
Yeah. We're Yotze for Mora.
We're Yotze with Romaine letters because the name was given after Matan Torah. So how come they're not Yotze with Romaine Ezov? That's the shaila. So I find it a bit. I don't understand exactly how they had Roman Ezov before Matan Torah, but Rome didn't exist yet. because we know that Rome wasn't built. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, but there was something there. No.
Yeah, but was it called Rome? Maybe. Yeah, it sounds like it that it was, but it's a bit hard to.
The land was there, the earth was here, but not Rome.
No. Right? And you would have
people living
in Italy. The Pope wasn't there yet. No. Okay. Anyway, Luchoira. So I mean, the Gemara says that it was. So it's sort of by a saying. So it must be that it was. But it's just hard to fathom that. Anyway, I'll call upon him. Rava brings a different answer. Rava Omar Hani Marirta Stama Shmayu. That Mora that from the Agam, it's not called Mora the Agam. It's called normal Mora. The Haidu Korale Marirta the Agma. When he says Mora the Agma, Mishul the Mishtakach the Agma. It grows in the swamp. Yeah, it's normal Mora. It just happens to grow in the swamp, and therefore that's what he's. It's not something which has a name, swamp Mora. Its name is Mora, and it just happens to grow in the swamp. So therefore, it's not a shame Levi, like the Ezev one, which has a separate name. Okay, Vaitis says a Gemara Omer of Chizda, Igid Bechad Loi Shmei Egid. Now we talked about this regarding the Schach. Yeah, and we said that if you bundle one branch to itself just to keep it lined up, then it's okay, because that's not called bound, and therefore that's not in the gzera of not using bound up stuff. So Rav Chizda says that the same thing, when a Torah tells you agudas ezoiv, yeah, it's also, if it's only one thing, that's not called a bundle. Yeah, you take one piece of thing, it's not a bundle of thing, a bundle is more than one. Yeah, now what's it nageya to? So where does it say in the Torah agudas ezoiv? It says in the Torah, Gudas Seizev, regarding the dipping of the blood for the Korban Pesach. Yeah, when Rashi brings a Gudas Seizev. So the question is, who cares? That was a once in history thing. They dipped the blood and they dipped the Seizev in the blood and they sprinkled. Yeah, so what's a Negeah for you to know that it has that a bundle of one Seizev is not called a bundle? Because by the Poradum, it doesn't say Agudas Ezov, it just says Ezov. And in fact there it talks only about the Ezov of the Paraduma, it talks about throwing it into the fire, but the fact that you dip it in the water and sprinkle, I don't think it says that you have to use Ezov for that. That's what we do, but it doesn't actually say that. So where do we get this Agudas Ezov thing? So Tosfos brings that the Sifri has a Gzeira Shava of Ezov from the Korban Pesach. There it says, Lokachtam is Agudas Ezev, so we learn Ezev, Gzeres Shavah. So even though by the Paraduma doesn't say Agudas Ezev, we learn the Paraduma as if it did say Agudas Ezev. Yeah? So therefore, we need to have a bundle of Ezev to sprinkle on the guy. So Rav Chizda is telling us that if it's only one Ezev, that's not called a bundle. Eged Shalosh, if you have three sticks of Ezev bound together, Shmei Eged, that is definitely a bundle, and that's good. Shnayim, so three is good. One is no good. What about two? It's Machloikis, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbanon. It's an argument between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbanon. Where do we see that? It's not within the Mishnah. Mitzvah's Ezov, the mitzvah of the hyssop is Shloisha Kalachim. It's three roots, Rashi says, three stems, I guess, that come out of the ground. Overhand, Shloisha Givolim. And each and they have to have three, the top of it, the middle shoot is called a givoil. So you have to have three offshoots, whatever the givoilim is, yeah? Three pieces like that. So it has to be three. So Tanakama says it has to be three. Rabbi Yosi Yomer, mitzvah says of ishloisha givoilim. The mitzvah is taket to start off with three in the bundle. Abershirov, but let's say you started off with three, and one of them fell out of the bundle, and you've only got two left, is Shnayim. Then if there's two left, like, once you've been using it, and one fell out, if you've still got two left, it's still kosher. The Garduma of Kolshahu. So there's two types of leftovers. One is where one piece fell out, and the other leftover means that it breaks. Yeah? So you picture yourself some Ezov, I don't really know what it looks like, but it's a flimsy type of vegetation. So you dip it in and you sprinkle and you dip it in for the next guy and you sprinkle and you keep doing that long. Eventually some of it starts falling off. Yeah, so he says if you've got a kolshahu left from the piece, that's okay. There's no minimum how much has to be left. So initially you take a whole stick of the ezoy from the ground and you use it to sprinkle. But as you sprinkle many times and bits fall off, as long as there's a kolshahu a minimum amount left, then it's okay. That's Gardumov. Okay, so that's sort of Derech Agav. But we see that Tanakama said that it's the mitzvah to have three. Rabbi Yossi says that Shloisha give volume, but the leftovers is two. It's Kasolka Daitin. So we thought, what's the pshat? That Midah Shirav Shnayim, when Rabbi Yossi says that when it's left over, even if there's only two left, it's okay. That's Chilasa Inami Shnayim. That Rabbi Yossi is holding that that even in the beginning, the mitzvah is to have two. When Rabbi Yossi uses the word mitzvah, says the mishloisha is like a hidur. It's a better way. It's mishmor mishubach, but it's about the mitzvah. But two is really fine, even lechatchila. And if Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that three is only for a hidur mitzvah, and two is really the ikar hadin, is that meaning you're saying it's a machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon? That means the Rabbanon shloisha la'akim. When the Rabbanon said that it needs shloisha kalachim, the Rabbanon never mentioned two. So that means the Rabbanon are holding that it's la'akim, that the mitzvah is that it has to be three. B'diyeved, it's not just a hidur. Yeah, so that we think that it means that Rabbanon said you have to have three, and Rabbi says you have to have two, even though Rabbi agrees that it's nicer if you have three. L'chatchila you can be answered with two also. Even l'chatchila, it's a hidur to have three. Oh, but we thought, but then that's what the Rabbanim said, that it has to be three. Rav Chisda told us that that two is a machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. Out of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon, who mentioned that two is kosher? Only Rabbi Yossi. So we assume that what he means is that it's kosher, but if you want to do it nicer, you do three. And the Rabbanon, who only mentioned three, that means it's ma'akev. There has to be three. If it's less than three, it's no good. Yeah? So that's how we learn pshat in what Rav Chisda said. It's a machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. Fred, the Gemara, how could that be? V'hatanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yossi, Yomer, Eizev, Shotchilase, Shnayim, Mashir, Avechar, is possible. Rabbi Yossi says that two in the first instance and one in the leftover instance is possible. In the first instance, you need to start with three. V'shir of shnayim, it's only when one fell out that two is okay. But you got to start off with three. You can't start off with two. Yeah? So how can you tell me Rabbi Yossi is the one who holds that starting off with two is okay? So the Gemara says, you're right. So epoch, so let's swap it around. And we'll say that Rabbi Yossi shloish shalakev. Rabbi Yossi said the word three. Even though Rabbi Yossi said that when it's left over, it's two. But when you start off, it has to be three. Not just as a hidur, but it has to be three. It's ma'akev. And the Rabbanon who said mitzvah b'shloisha, they used the words mitzvah b'shloisha. Yeah? So therefore the Rabbanon are the ones who say that three is only a hidur mitzvah. V'hatanya is b'nichus, as Rashi brings. This is our proof that the Brisa says, Ezev shetchilos eshnayim v'shir v'echad. If it's got two at the beginning and one after it, later on, it's kosher. It's only possible if the first one and also the leftover is only one. So the Gemara says, what? If there's one leftover, it's possible. Shir avechad possible. Amarta shir avechad kosher. You just said a second ago that chilos eshnayim and shir avechad is kosher. That even if there's only one left, it's kosher when it's not the first instance, when it's later on. So why are you telling me now that there's one left over? It's no good. Ella, what should the words be? Ema. On top of the page, that the first one is in the first instance, you started off with only one, like what's kosher when it's leftovers, then it's not kosher in the first instance. Yeah, so this is a stam brisa, so it's l'chay with the chachamim, and the chachamim are saying that in the first instance two is fine, and then afterwards one is fine, and therefore it doesn't even mention three. So the other brisa where it mentions three is a hidur only. So the conclusion is, Rabbi Yossi says you must have three in the first instance, and the Chachamim said that two in the first instance is fine. Okay, so that's Ezev. Back to Schach.
This epoch happens quite often throughout Shas.
No, this epoch. No, usually. Okay. Oh no, but here we did. But here we no. Here we're not swapping names. This is a big difference between this epoch and normal epochs. Normal epochs is you have two names of who said what. And it seems to contradict something else. So you say, oh, the names must be the wrong way around. So you actually swap them, because usually it's a brisa, and you say that the person who said the brisa got it wrong and mixed up the names. So that's the usual epoch. Now over here, they're not changing the names in the brisa. Over here, you're changing your havamina. Yeah? All Rav Chisda told us was, it's a machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. So we, Chachomim, worked out that Rabbi Yossi is the one who says two, and the Chachomim said three. But then the Gemara proves that we worked it out wrong. So the Bryce is not wrong, and Rav Chisda wasn't wrong. We didn't understand. We thought he meant Rabbi Yossi says two, and the Chachomim say three. And the Maskana is, no, that Rabbi Yossi says three, and the Chachomim say two. Which the Rav Chisda meant all along. We just didn't understand what he meant. Yeah? That's all. That's, so it's an epoch in our understanding, not an epoch in changing the actual Bryce, not editing the Bryce here. We're just changing our understanding. Okay, back to the Schach. Second line from the top. Dorash Mereimar. Hani Israisu Desura. This is bundles of sticks that they would sell in the marketplace. Rashi says, Chavile Kanim She'oisin Limke B'shuk O'moichrinei Sam B'minyon. And they sold them by volume. So you bought a bundle of 10 sticks. So why were they bundled together when you went to Penhal Yerak? Because it was 10 for $5, yeah? That was the way it was sold. Yeah, you buy them by bundles of 10 or whatever, yeah? Is therefore, even though it's bundled, Masachachin Behu, that's kosher for Schach, even though we said bundles in the Mishnah before, bundles is no good, but this kind of bundles is, yeah, good. Yeah, why? Because you're not bundling it in order to dry it out in the sun or for any other purpose. You're only bundling it.
It's like buying a six-pack.
That's right. You buy a six-pack. You don't drink all six at once, do you? Some people do. That's how big your mouth is. It's afalgav de ogdon, even though they're bundled, but leminyon ba'almahu de ogdon. The only purpose of the binding is not that you want a bound bundle of sticks. It's only so Pinhal Yerek knows that it's only, that's right, they're sold by volume, so he knows, grab a bundle and it's half the price. You'll undo it when you get home. Yeah. So therefore, if you put it on the sukkah and didn't undo it, it's kosher. Because that bundle is not a problem. Yeah. Omar Rab Abba says, Hani Tzrifi the Urbani. So Tzrifi the Urbani, it means Urbani is like a rovis. What's it called? A willow tree. Yeah. So what happens is, now, I'll say the Rashi because I don't really understand it, but I'll say it anyway. Have a look in the Rashi. Tzrifi. Just on the other side, just below where we are. Rashi says, Tzrifi is kemin koich ogul kikoiva. It's like a round pole sort of thing that looks like a hat. And they use it, what they do is, they put bird traps inside, so it's hollow. So you stick some kind of bird trap in there, and the bird thinks he's coming to sit on the pole, and he gets trapped, and that's how they catch birds. Very sneaky. The Urbani. So Urbani means the hunters. That's, yeah, like Orav, ambush. You ambush the bird. Okay. Yeah, but Urbani, the word Urbani means like Orav Loivakal. Yeah, he ambushes him. So you ambush the birds using these poles. Also, you may anfeya rovis. It's made out of branches of a willow tree. The goylim may say mitachtov. It grows at the bottom there. Piv rochav. And it's got a wide mouth, so it means it's an opening where you can hide your trap in there. You got a picture of it? Okay, we got a picture from the ad scroll. So we got it. So you got a. So we got an opening where you can put your. Yeah, I still don't understand. Okay, where you can stick. Where you can stick the. You can stick the net.
I thought it was at the top.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Maybe that top thing is an opening also. So what does that mean? The bird flies in from the bottom and gets stuck in the trap.
It's on a pole.
It's on a pole. Yeah, okay. If you understand it, good. And lamaila koishrin roshay hanitzarim. Oh, I see. Right, yes. The opening's at the bottom. And the top bit, you tie it together to make the trap. Right, okay. Ke'ein klei mitzuda is like a hunt, like traps. Shetzadim dogim ketanim, like you use when you hunt fish. Sha'osim beguma that you make in the ditch where the fish are growing and swimming. Sha'kevin yunkish, avol ein b'tzvif shloishiv yabah b'tiyariga k'meishi yesh l'mitzuda. But the only thing is that this one, you haven't got three or four woven things together like you have in the fish nets. Okay, I'll call upon him. It looks like what you have is a hole at the bottom that the bird flies in, and then the top you tie it together so there's no exit. So the bird's stuck. Yeah, so that's Srifi the Urvani, says Rab Abba. Cave back in the Gemara, yeah, on the fourth line from the top. Cave and shahutzra roshay madanim shalahem. If you undo the top, ksherim, then it's kosher for schach. I ha'gidim itatoy. It's tied at the bottom as well, so it looks like you tie at the bottom as well, so it shouldn't spread out too far. Yes, but at the top you tie it up really close to lock it in, and the bottom it's not tied as much. Yeah, so the question is, it's still tied at the bottom, and bundles is no good for schach, so why is it good? Amar Rav Papa the Shor Elohu, you're right. It's when he undoes the whole thing, then it's okay.
Once it's become a kli, which is shaykh to the kabbatum,
so that
if you are matir it, is it then ois kli, and then the,
can yeah, if you take it apart, it's not a kli anymore. If it was, then if you undo it, even if it was tamei, if you have a tamei thing that you took apart, it becomes tahor. Yeah, if you have
a shover,
but when you break it, it's tahor, right? And then if you put it back together again into some other kli, it's okay. It's not tahor anymore. It's not tamei anymore, right? Rav Hunder Ber of Yeshua says, "Afilu tamei de'lo shari lahu." Even if he didn't undo the bottom bundle, but kol eged she'enei osa l'talta lo leishma yeged. It's not used for what's an eged? What's a bundle that's no good? A bundle that's used to make it easy to carry. That's called a bundle. But this bundle is not to make it easy to carry. This bundle is to help you trap the bird. Yeah, so therefore that's not called an egged. And therefore, it's okay even if you don't undo it. Okay, so that's the bird trap. Next. Amar Rab Abba Amar Shmuel. Yerokesh Sha'amr Chachamim Yaitzi Adam Medev Chavasa BePesach. Let's get back to vegetables. So this is going to come back to Sukkot, don't worry. But we start off with Pesach, yeah? Where the Chachamim said the different vegetables that you're Yaitzi with on Pesach, yeah, from Moro. So those vegetables, mevi'in esatuma. So in other words, they're edible. So what's the deal over here? The deal is, if you have tuma in a room, in a house, whatever, and you block up the exit with something, then that exit, so that will stop the tuma from going out, and it also, if it's in the roof, it brings the tuma in as an oihel, yeah? So let's say we have a dead body in the room, and there's an open skylight, yeah? So underneath the skylight will not be tamei, because it's not under the same roof as the dead guy. What if you put a shtickle of moror in the skylight and block it up? So then it's maybe a satuma, and then now the whole thing's an oil, and it makes the whole room tamei, yeah? On a similar vein, if you have two rooms next to each other under the same roof with a wall in between, but there's a window in between the wall.
Sorry, what did you say? What was that?
Which one?
You have two rooms.
Two rooms next to each other under the same roof in a house, yeah? There's two rooms next to each other. So if the mace is in one room and there's an open window, the tumor flies out through the window and gets into the other room as well. If you block up the window, the other room is tohor. So if you blocked up the room with moror, he says it's not chaitzitz. Yeah? So that's maybe. If it's an oihel, it's maybe to make the room tamei, but it's not chaitzis between one room and the other to save the second room from becoming tamei. Yeah. Why is it so? Because things that are mekabel tuma themselves, yeah, cannot
block tuma.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not saying good. Let's say to Rashi. Rashi explained it better than I did. It's about halfway down in the Rashi. Yeah. The things that you can use for moror, which is chazeres for ulshin, the Gemara brings up psachim, which are archev for Yisem and all their friends, and dakas mehem, which are even thinner, tinbish palas, hilkach ein chaitasir b'fnei hatuma. They cannot stop you from having tuma in the house. Imsichach behen gag, if you put them on top of the roof and there's tuma going through from one to the other. So he says that the reason why it doesn't stop the tumor from going from one to the other is midrabanon. That means min hatorah it would stop. Why? The gozer alayah, they made a gzeira on these things. Shalom yismuchu alayim lochot zdei tumor. You cannot rely on sticking moror in the window to block the tumor from going from one room to the other. Dilma samche alayu l'chiyavshi nami. Because you would rely on them when they dry out. What happens when they dry out? They crumble and fall apart. And therefore, they're not chaitzitz. They're not blocking. And because when they dry out, they're not going to block properly, and the tumor will go through. So therefore, they made a gzeira that even when it's not dried out yet, you can't use it. Yeah, miu ba'odin lachin. However, when it's still moist and not dried out, chaitzitz in midaraisa, then it does make a chaitzitz in minatayra. Mishim le mekabli tumor. It's not mekabel tumor. Even though you eat it as moror, it's not mekabel tumor. The lav machaladim ninu, because it's not normal food. Because if it would be kabbal tumah, then even when it's moist, it would be no good. Yeah. Well, the chiyavshi, and when it dries out, ein chatzitzot in chatzitza, then the interruption is not an interruption. Can mefarish to mefarich, as it explains, because it falls apart. Umaviyan es atuma, the next Rashi, boy don lachim, when they're still moist, they bring tuma. The chokamid lo yofshi, because as long as they haven't dried out yet, oil who would be the rice, it's considered oil. So you can't be makel to say, oh, let's pretend it fell apart, but you can be machmer. Okay, so that's what he says about Pesach. So back in the Gemara, this is Rav Abba saying the name of Shmuel, back in the Gemara, that Yadam Yetzibe Dechavasa Pesach Legab, those things that you can be Yetzibe, Vienes Hatuma, because Min HaToira, it's considered a valid substance, and it's not, and it's therefore brings Tuma to the oil. But Ein Chetzim Vnei Tuma, you cannot rely on it for a Chetzitza, because when it dries out and it crumbles, it's not going to be Chetzit, so therefore there were Geyser even when it didn't dry out. Now, what it's got to do with us? So, paislim besukah mishum avir. The same thing if you try to use it for schach. So, it's not a problem of being mekabel tumah, like Rashi just said. It's still because it's not an oichel, but it's still no good for schach. And not only is it no good, but it's treated as air. What's the difference between air and posel schach? So, the din is if you have posel schach mixed in with your kosher schach, as long as there's more kosher schach than posel schach, it's bottle beroiv, and your whole sukkah is kosher. How much posel schach can you have in one place before it's considered that it's not part of the same sukkah anymore, and it's if the walls don't get to the other kosher schach, it's no good? Four tfachim. So if you have four tfachim in a row of not kosher schach in the middle of your sukkah, that makes up your whole sukkah. What about air? Whether if there's no schach, there's just air. You have a gap between your palm branches, yeah? There, it's only three tefachim, because less than three tefachim, we say lavud. If it's more than three tefachim, it's no good. So having blank space in your schach is worse than having posel schach. Posel schach only ruins it if it's four, but air ruins it if it's three. So he says this stuff, you're stricter like air. Why? My timer. Since when it dries out, it's going to crumble and fall out. You have to treat it as if it's not there at all, and as if it was just blank airspace. So it's even worse than normal posel schach.
But that's also only midrabbana.
Yes.
Rice would be good.
Right? Yes, correct. So now we have another concept. The concept is you have food. So we know food is mekabel tumah. So what's the Mishnah discusses is a Mishnah in your Yadayim, yeah? That if you have a yad which is a handle, yeah. So what does it mean? Let's say you have a fruit growing on a branch, yeah. So the fruit is mekabel tumah, and the branch is not mekabel tumah, right? But you need, if you're going to handle this fruit, so you pick off the fruit, you pick part of the branch with it to hold it by. That's called a yad. It's like a handle for the fruit. So that part of the branch, even though it's not edible, but since it's the handle of the fruit, it is mekabel tumah as part of the fruit. And the homachlokes, if it's mistarif to the shear of a kibetza, the chulu. Yeah? So, Rav Chuna says that if you cut the grapes because you want to make wine out of it, then the handle doesn't count, yeah, to make it be mekabel tumah, because you don't need a handle. When you're going to make wine out of it, you don't want to stick the handle into the vat and get this stuff mixed up in your wine. You really want to get rid of the handle because it's loy nechale, because you don't want it, therefore it doesn't count, and there's no din of yodos to join up and be mekabel tumah. Yeah, the handle, the little bit of branch that comes off when you pull the grape. Rav Manchi bragada om Rav Huna, hakeitzel eschach. Similarly, when you cut it for schach, so what are you doing when you make schach? You pull off the fruit. You pulled off a branch with fruit on it from your lemon tree, yeah? So the lemons is no good, but the branch is, yeah, good. If it's mostly branch and a minority of lemons, then the whole thing's good because the lemons is bottle beroiv. What happens about the yodos? If there's a part of the branch has to be considered as a handle for the lemon, then if it's mistarif to the lemon, that might make it a roiv of lemons. If it's not mistarif to the lemon, it will be a roiv of branch. So what's the story? Is it part of the lemon or part of the branch? So Rav Huna says, if you're cutting it for the purposes of schach, ein la yodos, it's not considered a handle for the lemon because you don't want it. A handle is only what you want. You don't want to use that to hold on to the lemon because you want to use it for schach. So those are two examples where a person doesn't want the handle and therefore doesn't count. The Gemara says like this, Manda Omar Koitzer, if you say one who cuts it for schach, it's not considered a handle, as kol shekein boitzer, then how much more so with the wine, the loinechale, because he doesn't want the handle, the loinimtzel, the chamre, it shouldn't mess up his wine by having little bits of branch in it. But Manda Omar Boitza Shein Le Yode, the one who talks about the case of the wine, he will say there it's not considered a handle because he doesn't want it to mess up his wine. Avol Koitza Yesh Le Yode, but when he cuts it for Schach, even though he knows that the that if he treats it as a lemon, it's not kosher, but he still wants the handle. The Nechale De Lislach Bohu, he wants to have that brand, that handle, they're holding it together. It's in order that it shouldn't split apart. So it holds it, it holds the branch together. He doesn't want the yodis to fall off. And therefore, because he wants it, that would be considered part of the lemon, and therefore it would be no good. Okay. So the Gemara asked, name it, the Rav Mancha Bar Gada. Rav Mancha Bar Gada was the one who talked about the schach with the lemon branch, yeah? He didn't say lemon. I'm using lemon as an example because it's easier, yeah? The yodis of the schach. Should we say Tanoi? It's a machlekes Tanoi. The Tani will then embrace a suke to einim over hen to einim. You have a branch here. Suke means branch, a branch of figs, and there are some figs on it. Parchilin over hen anovim. You have a vine branch with that grapes growing on it. Kashin over hen shibolim. You have a stock growing out of the ground which has actual grain in it. Mechabdois over hen tamarim. You have a branch on a date tree and there's dates on it. So all of those cases, you have the branch with the fruit is cool on. In all these cases, im pseilus berub ala oichling sheira. If it's more branch and less fruit, then it's kosher for schach. V'imla psula. If it's more fruit and less branch, then it's no good. That's what we just said before. Acherim meimrim achi hey kashim merubin al hayodis v'ala oichlin. Acherim says that it has to be that the branch has to be more than the fruit plus the handle put together. So he says that the handle counts as a as fruit. And the first Tana was saying that it doesn't have to worry about the handles. So my love, so isn't it that b'halka miflagi? That's the machlekes. Marsav yesh la yodis, and marsav ein la yodis. One says it's got handles, and the other one says it doesn't. So the Gemara says, Rab Abba was talking about the grapes for the wine. According to Rab Abba, vadi tanoihi, he will have to say for sure that this is a machlekes tanoim, because there's no way Rab Abba said that it's okay for the grapes. There's no way that he can say that acherim holds like him. But the Rav Mancha Bar Gada Milema Tanoihi. But Rav Mancha Bar Gada, when he was, does he have to say it's a machlokes tanoim? Because he was talking about the schach. Is Amalach Rav Mancha. Yeah. So the question is, when you talk about you when these things being yodos according to the Acherim, is that when he cut it for schach in the first place, or he cut it for fruit and only later we decided to use it for schach? Is Rav Mancha will tell you Amalach Rav Mancha the Kula Yalma. Sovri, everyone will hold a koitzel l'schach, ein l'yodis. If when you cut it, you intended it all along to be used for schach, everyone will agree that those handles don't count as handles for the food, because you want it for schach. Yeah? V'hachal, mayaskino, when is there a machloikis, can go into koitzel l'achila. He cut the fruit because he wants to eat the fruits. V'nimlach alein l'sikach, and then he thought, this lemon branch I can use for schach. Yeah? So therefore, that's one of the cases. If it was a yad originally because he wanted the fruit, does it become unyad because he now wants it for schach? So that is a machloikis. But if he cut it lechatchila for schach, everyone will agree it's good. It's Freddy Gemara, 1 minute. If he cut it for achila to eat the fruit, then it's for sure a handle. It's my tamayah de Rabbana. Why did Rabbana say that you don't count it as a handle? V'chitei mekasami Rabbana, the earth will answer to me. The Rabbana hold kemlin v'nim lechalai l'sikol. That once he changed his mind to use it for schach, bottle lemach shavtoi, his original thought that it's fruit is now bottle, because now he wants it for schach. Umi bottle lemach shava, b'hachli kanyim b'mevatel your machshava that made it tamay, or made it considered a yad, and now cancel it just by changing your mind without doing anything. Any vessel is mekabel tuma when it's finished making it. Yeah, when you're finished making it, it's mekabel tuma. So let's say you made something and you thought you're finished. So then it's mekabel tuma. Yeah, but then let's say you changed your mind, you're going to do some more finishing touches. So you want it now to be antome? To get it to be antome, you have to do something, not just think I'm going to do something. Yeah, because if you do something, that cancels out a previous thought and even a previous maisa. Of a machshava, but just thinking, that doesn't cancel lo miyad maisa, not a previous action, and not even miyad machshava. You can't cancel a previous thought with a new thought. So therefore, how can you make it that just because I thought now it's chach, it's not a yad anymore? V'chitema, you'll answer me, hani mili kelim. That only applies to vessels, the chashivi, because they're chosh of the things. Of a yodis, but these are only handles. It's after all a branch. It's a handle for the food. I mean, how choshev is that? Solka. So easy come, easy go. I thought about it, that it's going to be part of the fruit. Now I think it's not. That also doesn't work. We have to stop because it's starting. V'hatnan. We're in the middle of a sentence. All right, we'll continue tomorrow. Okay.